Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everyone. What do you do with a greeting like that? Well, I'll give you the voice, but it's not designed to put you to sleep. It's designed this morning to keep you awake. Yes, it is. Yeah. Hey, sometimes, often, too often, we put off things for far too long that we should have done. And when we finally get the thing done, we say to ourselves, I should have done that so many years ago. Right? Got some things like that? I finally got round to believing in Jesus Christ at the age of 30. I come from a family where my mother was a Christian. My father had some kind of religious thing going on, but we didn't get to church too often. In fact, we hardly ever went to church. But occasionally church came to us. I was brought up in a farming community in southeast Queensland, and the Methodist preacher around there, he got the idea they should set up some home meetings and try and get the gospel into the farmhouses. And so sometimes church would come to our house. And I have seven siblings, so you think mum and dad and eight kids, that's quite a congregation right there. It's kind of like the Rumendi family, you know, there's that many of us. And so, you know, as time went on, out of all of that, my sister is a believer, I am, and my brother Keith is. The other five siblings, they're not opposed to God and Jesus and church. But God and Jesus and church just aren't part of their lives. Praise God, you know, my father in his latter years, he became a full-on believer and got baptized. So praise God. I committed my life to Christ, you know, just after Easter. My birthday is around Easter. And so if you want to know what that date is, so you can get prepared for the gift, 12th of April. 12th of April, there's other famous people who got the same date as mine, and if you're buying gifts, mind my first and see what you got left over. The other guy, right? I committed my life to Christ yesterday. I'd watched that Easter, an old movie, a very old movie called King of Kings, really old movie. And that there was something in that movie that kind of got my attention that maybe it was time for me to pursue a life of faith in God, whatever that turned out to be like. Some days after that Easter, a friend of ours by the name of Wendy came round to visit us. Well, not to visit me, she came to visit my wife. She thought I wouldn't be home, in fact. She had just become a Christ follower over Easter, and she wanted to share that good news with my wife, Lara. And I was a shift worker at the time, and she came round when she thought I was on shift. Unfortunately for her, and fortunately for me, I had swapped my shift. I was home. And she came and she blurted out eventually that she had found this relationship with God through faith in Christ, and she thought we ought to too. And as she told us that, I was ripe for the picking. And my wife stormed out to the kitchen. And I said, "That's great news, Wendy, that you've done this." And my wife said later on, you know, when you said that and she said that, I thought to myself, I thought we had one religious freak in the house with Wendy, and now we've got two of them. And Wendy eventually went to go home. She left me with a book called Right With God, author John Blanchard. And that night, as my wife stormed off to bed, I read that book from cover to cover. And that book finished, with a call to accept Christ as Savior, to believe in Him. And it finished with the old hymn, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Your Blood Was Shed For Me, And That You Bid Me Come To Thee, O Lamb Of God, I Come." And you know, I prayed that prayer, and I knew I was heaven bound from that time on. And I put the book down, I thought, now I've got to go to bed, and grumpy Lara's in there, you know. So I thought the best thing I can do now that I'm on this faith journey is pray for Lara. And I pray, "Lord, give that woman no rest until she decides for you." And I went to bed and I knew I was on the faith journey. I was heaven bound. I woke up the next morning feeling pretty good. I said to Lara, how'd you sleep last night? She said, I got no rest. And I go, this works. And I knew I was onto something right there. Now, here's the thing. My wife, later on, some months later, decided to follow Christ. I'd got sent by my organization to Exmouth for the winter for 3 months. And it was while I was away, and I wasn't in there to get in the way of what God wanted to do with her. And she became a Christ follower while I was gone. Lara's family has absolutely no Christian background. Although I must say, her parents on Sunday mornings sent her to the local Methodist church for Sunday school. They packed her up and sent her off, and she came home again, and probably just to get her out of their hair for a Sunday morning. That's how it worked. So I can trace some kind of Christian heritage through my family, but Lara cannot. She is a first-generation believer. Now, here's the thing. I love to lead people to the Lord. Since I have found faith in Christ, I just love to lead people to the Lord. I just love to do that. I led my brother Keith to the Lord. Later on, I actually led my father-in-law, Cliff, to the Lord, which is quite a thing. Cliff was in hospital, Charlie Gardner Hospital. He had been in the building industry and worked with asbestos. And you get asbestos dust into your lungs, it's not going to end well for you. And Charlie Gardner Hospital called me and said, would you come? Cliff Pendergrass, your father-in-law wants to see you. And I thought back to when I first met him. It was when I first met the lady that's now my wife, and Cliff didn't like me. I don't know if you can understand that. I find that hard to believe, but he just didn't like me, and he said some mean things to me, that like knock your head off your shoulders and things like that, and with some colorful language in there. And so I go to visit with Cliff, and my mother-in-law was there, and he didn't want her to hear the conversation for whatever reason. And they draw the curtains around, and I'm in the curtains, and I go, what's happening? He says, Gordon, I'm about to die. And he got emotional. He said, I want to go to heaven. Okay, you're talking to the right guy. He said, you don't know how bad I've been. And I said, well, I've got some idea. And, you know, we talked these things through, and I prayed with Cliff, and he prayed, and he believed in Christ, and he's in heaven this morning. You know, my wife and I, once we're both Christ followers, it's our heart's desire that our kids should also be Christ followers. And we've done all that we could to build Bible principles and a Christian environment for them. I have 5 kids, by the way. And you know, 4 of those are Christ followers involved in church life. And I have 16 grandchildren. And 3 months ago, my first great-grandchild was born. So I've got a tribe. Some of my grandchildren are Christ followers, you know. We're talking this morning about generations and passing on the gospel to the next generation. I want to say to you who are Christ followers, don't let the gospel stop with your generation. Do whatever you can to pass on the baton to the next generation from generation to generation. And if you're here this morning and you're like me and you just didn't get round to following Christ, don't put it off. I want to encourage you to make that new beginning with God today. And perhaps become the first in a long line of generations in your family that follow Christ. There's an individual in your Bible, in the Old Testament, in fact, the very first book in your Bible in the Old Testament. His name is Abraham, and he's called the father of faith. And the scripture says it this way in Romans chapter 4, verse 16, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. It's not as though Abraham was brought up in the faith. He was not. His parents didn't pass on to him this faith. That's not how it was. He connected with God. He believed in God. And because he followed God, he followed the direction of God, he left his family, left his family home, left the religion that his parents practiced, and he followed God. Joshua chapter 24, verses 2 and 3, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestor, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates, and I led him through Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. And so Abraham was the first generation in his family to have this faith connection with God. He did not grow up in a household where the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ was followed and worshipped. His mum and dad worshipped other gods. I was talking to a lady on Thursday. It was my doctor's nurse. I went for a full-on medical. I've got to do one of those to get my next driver's license, full-on medical, because that's just what I'm turning that funny age where they can't get a driver's license. Anyway, I'm talking to the nurse, and she said, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm retired. She said, "What? How long have you been retired?" And I told her. She said, but you still work? I said, yeah, nothing really changed. I'm just not in the payroll anymore, but I'm doing the same thing. I said, I'm a pastor. And she said, she's got Indian heritage, and she was raised in Singapore, and she was not raised a Christian. She had an Eastern religion, and she said, you know, I'm the first generation in my family to become a Christ follower. And we got talking about that, and she's serving in a different church. She's coming to our church to check out Womberland in a week or two, because we talked about that. She's the first generation. Abraham was the first generation. And sometimes a family, you know, will give some kind of approval to some version of Christianity, but doesn't quite line up with a personal relationship with the living God. And if you want to know what God really looks like, you want to know, have a good version of God, well, listen to what Jesus says. John chapter 14, verses 7 and 9. Jesus said, if you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Anyone who has seen me, said Jesus, has seen the Father. If you want to know what God looks like, he looks like Jesus. Jesus is God. He's the revelation of God. Romans 4, 3, but Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. He believed in God. He believed in the Savior who was to come. Abraham was the first one in his family to be a believer, and then his son became a believer, and his son's kids, and on and on. But the family line as believers had to start somewhere. It started with Abraham. Your parents may not have been Christians, but you can make that faith connection with God and be the first in a long line of family member, generation after generation of Christ followers. That's Abraham. I want to talk about Timothy. Timothy became the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Unlike Abraham, he was not the first in his family to become a believer. He had a mother and a grandmother who had believers before he was. 2 Timothy 1:5, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, I remember your faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that the same faith continues strong in you. The Apostle Paul met Timothy on one of his missionary journeys in Asia Minor, today's Turkey that would be, Acts 16, 1 to 3. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. I just need to say this to you, right? His mother was a believer. His father was a Greek. That doesn't mean that if you're a Greek, you can't be a believer. You understand that back then there was no Greek Orthodox Church. It hadn't started yet. And if you read Acts 17, the very next chapter from where I just read to you, about Paul in Athens, you quickly realize that in Greece at that time, there was a smorgasbord of religions and supposed deities in Greece, even a monument to the unknown gods. There was a whole bunch of them. And Acts 16 simply informs us that Timothy's dad was Greek. But it tells us that that Timothy's mother was Jewish and she was a believer. So I'm assuming that the dad was Greek and not a believer, right? Let's go with that. So unlike Abraham, who was the first generation believer of his biological family, Timothy, well, he had a grandma and a mother who were both believers before him. 2 Timothy chapter tells us that mum and grandma were both Christ followers. Timothy's grandma made a good choice to follow Jesus, and Timothy's mother decided to follow Jesus, and Timothy did too. And I want to say, please don't presume that you are a genuine Christian just because grandma and mom or granddad and dad were believers. It isn't necessarily so. It puts you in a good position, but doesn't genuinely make you a believer at all. They will invest positive principles into your life. Still doesn't necessarily make you a believer. Timothy's mother and grandma were, but he needed to make his own decision. 2 Timothy 1:5. I remember your genuine faith. What kind of faith? That would be the genuine faith. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. However, 2 Timothy 3:15, you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you wisdom to receive salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. So when your parents, your grandparents, if they have invested gospel stuff in you, that doesn't automatically make you a Christ follower. 2 Timothy 3:15, salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Your mum and dad and grandma and granddad cannot believe for you. That's something you've got to do yourself. They can't do it for you. And then there are some individuals whose parents and grandparents were or are Christ followers, but because they talk the talk more than they walk the walk, or exercise a legalistic approach to God, rules instead of grace, the kids have reacted against that kind of stuff. I said, that's not for me at all. I don't like this legalistic, negative joylessness. And they said, it's not for me, and they walked away. I want to say, you know, if there's anyone who's happened to be here today and that's you, you walked away and you're thinking maybe I should come back. Well, it's not a maybe, you should come back, you should come back. I need to say Jesus is not on about all those thou shalt nots as much as he is on about what you can become by faith through his grace. He's got something for you. Colossians 1:28 says this, that the Apostle Paul, he says, this is what our ministry is about, that we may present everyone complete in Christ. There's a completion thing going on when you follow Christ. And so I want to encourage anyone here today who has been put off the claims of Christ by family or friends or church experience And you can have bad experiences amongst people. If you've been put off, move past those past disappointments and look to Jesus, who has so much more for you than that. Our slogan in this church, you've already heard it this morning, no perfect people allowed. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, His grace is sufficient for you, regardless of how good or bad you've ever been. It's about His grace. It's about it from generation to generation. This morning, I just want to put a little challenge out there to parents, right? I want to challenge you, parents, to live right for the sake of your children and the next generation. And some of you are saying, Gordon, for goodness sakes, that's got nothing to do with me. I'm a teenager. I don't have any kids yet. Right? Well, I know, but regardless of your age and your family position, you know, you have influence. You have influence over those who are younger than you. Doesn't matter whether you're related to them or not. And what you do now, and how you live now, and how you think now, how you act now, will have some influence on the next generation, not only in your biological family with your siblings and so on, but beyond. This church has such a strong emphasis on investing in the next generation. So this weekend, in fact, Friday night, Saturday, we had a Womberland conference up at Les Murdy, up in the hills, beautiful spot. My wife Lara was up there, and she is totally recharged with Womberland. She's the Womberland woman in Baldivis this morning. But apart from the fact that that's our church has this emphasis, let's all take up the challenge for the next generation. Psalm 78, verses 6 and 7. So the next generation would know them, even children yet to be born. And they in turn would tell their children. And then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds and would keep His commands. Isn't that just a cool couple of verses? Hey, the movie Gladiator, the hero was played by Russell Crowe, and he calls out to inspire his soldiers as they're taking up the charge. He goes, what you do now echoes in eternity. I want to say to you, what you do now echoes in the next generation. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do now echoes in your children, in your grandchildren, in your great-grandchildren. What you do now echoes in your younger friends and your siblings. Some of you here today, you get this, you get the Abraham thing, because you are first generation believers. Pass it on to your kids and your grandkids. Some of you, you know, your parents and your grandparents, you are blessed because of that. They invested in you, and what they did is echoing in you and your generation. You still need to make it your own, but the echo is there in a positive way. And those of you who are saying, well, you know, I'm thinking about that. I put it off for way too long, Gordon, not quite as long as you did, but I'm going to do it. Well, yeah, do it today. Do it and signify what you're doing in following Christ by believers' baptism. Don't put that off either. For some of you, you have been put off. Your parents meant well, but their approach to God and church didn't resonate with you at all. I encourage you to get your own joyful personal relationship with God by faith in Jesus. Make it your own. And for all of us, what we do now echoes in the next generation. Let's make it a joyful, positive echo in the lives of our biological offspring and the lives of all of those with whom we have to do. so that the gospel will bear fruit in the next generation and the generation after that and on in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.